We've been talking about heaven this morning, so this is a song I thought I would try. This is just what heaven means to me.
Heaven.
A country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending days where night will never be. A city where the storm clouds cannot gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What joy 'twill be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the crystal sea. To meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. A place where there is no misunderstanding, and from all enmity and strife we're free. No unkind word to wound the hearts are spoken, for this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image each other loves all flee, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. Well, this is just what heaven means to me. And what joy 'twill be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the crystal sea to meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Wayne. Anyone else got a song in your heart this morning? I certainly welcome anyone that would have a song to share. We certainly welcome that. And like I said, I'd like to thank y'all for the honor y'all bestowed upon me last Sunday with the meal and the gifts. I certainly appreciate that. I wish I could say I deserved any of it. And I appreciate you bestowing honor upon me. I certainly want to be the best I can. As a pastor, I've never been a pastor in my life. And the thought of being one kind of scared me for a long time. But now that I'm in over my head in the position of being a pastor, I have to be a little more comfortable about it than I was in the beginning. And all God asked you to do is just love His children, love His sheep. And He told Peter, He said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" I don't know if that's fishermen or fishermen nets. I don't know. Fish nets or what. But Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He said, "Feed my lambs." Peter thought, "Phew, I'm glad that's over." And about that time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He said, "Feed my sheep." He said, "Phew." And the third time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter regretted that he asked him that third time, even though he denied the Lord three times. He said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And he said, "Feed my sheep." That's what pastors do. They feed sheep. They care about sheep. They try to keep the flock together. They try to not to shear too close, but try to keep the flock presentable. One day the Lord's going to come. When He does come, well, we'll leave out. We'll present ourselves as a little flock. That's what Jesus called His bunch, a little flock. We'll take our reading this morning out of Proverbs chapter number 5. We'll read a few verses right there. Proverbs chapter number 5. Had a rough go with this message here. I'm kind of glad to get it off, or I don't want to say off my back, but kind of glad to be able to deliver this message. This message has been hanging over my head for quite some time. Proverbs chapter number 5. We'll read the first five verses there of Proverbs chapter number 5. And God here says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, bow thine ear unto my understanding. that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. And I would read further there, and I may comment on some of the other verses. Thank you for standing for the Word of God. You can be seated. I want to pray right now. I'll try to preach this morning on reasons people go to hell. Pray with me, please. Father, we ask for your help this morning. Lord, not only am I inadequate, Lord, from where I stand and look at things, but Lord, I desire your help this morning. For Lord, by thy help, Lord, I'll make a mess of this message. And Lord, I pray not only, Lord, to be some fruit, but I pray, dear Father God, we'd be able to pull back the veil and see more clearly in this subject matter of hell. Help us, I pray. Lord, we have no desire to see anybody go to hell. Lord, you have no desire. Your word says you're long suffering usward, not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. All won't, but all should. You said you gave a woman, Jezebel, space to repent. Sadly, you said she repented not. Lord, many will be like that even today, but I pray you'll help us today to give the most earnest heed to this message. Lord, open our eyes and ears. Open our hearts, I pray, to the great truths. Lord, we pray as we deliver this message this morning. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Jesus had a lot to say about heaven, but he had even more to say about hell. And I'll be preaching about heaven tonight. And we want to preach this morning. I aimed to preach this message last Sunday. And I felt like I'd been better off to forbear and preach it this Sunday. But let me just say this morning about reasons that people go to hell. There was an infidel. My wife's got a book at home called Voices from Eternity. In that book, I've read it more than once. There's a man in that book. He was a very wealthy man. Had a lot of wealth. A lot of means. Didn't really need God. But he was an infidel. And a leader of a bunch of infidels. His name was Voltaire, I believe. But as the years caught up with him, he couldn't go as before. He had to have someone to help him. He couldn't get up. He couldn't go to the bathroom by himself. So they hired a nurse to help him in the matters of that. And his friend would come by and check on him and ask him how he's doing. Big tough guy, you know. I don't worry about me. I'm not going to be in. I'm not going to give any ground. I'm tough. I ain't worried about dying. I ain't worried about going to hell. He mocked and scoffed at God, Carolyn. That went pretty good for a while. All his friends showed up. Don't fail us now. Show us, you know, that we don't have to believe in God. He did the best he could. But when it come down to the end, the bitter end, when the pains of hell got a hold on him, like a woman in travail with child, that nurse, that English nurse, she had to flee the room. She said for 3 miles away, you could hear Voltaire screaming, "They're coming after me. They're coming after me. They're dragging me down. The flames are coming up around my bed. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. You turn down the help of God." And you'll meet an end like Voltaire. One of many tough guys. Long as death hadn't run its course. Boy, we talk so tough. I was kind of like that to some degree. I thought, you know, who needs God? Man, I can do whatever, whenever. Who needs God? There'll be a day you'll realize you're in need of God.
That's right.
Boy, when death comes calling, you'll realize then, boy, you won't want God very far from you on that day. done that funeral this week, and I preached about dying and death. How really that God didn't want that in the plans of man. Put man in the Garden of Eden. Only gave him one commandment. That was all, just one. Of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. The first mention of death pertained to disobedience. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5, by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin. That's how death had its entrance. The disobedience of one man brought the subject of death upon all. By the obedience of another, death can be overthrown. By the obedience of another, buddy, I'll tell you what, I've got the antidote. I've got the cure. I'll tell you right now, the opposite of death is eternal life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it, and have it more abundantly. Amen. Not just death, but eternity in a place called hell. I wouldn't want to spend a second there, much less eternity. This track, I picked this up here in my Bible. It says, what you miss by being a Christian, it's pretty clear. Big old letters right there. Hell! You want to miss hell? You'll have to get to Jesus before death gets to you. If death gets to you before Jesus does, you'll find yourself in the dilemma of that rich man, Luke 16. The Bible said he opened up his eyes in hell, being in torments. Now he's ready to plead. Now he's ready to ask for mercy. Now he's ready to say, hey, I need some help here. Me and Brother Melvin, then a couple of years ago, we went and visited a house not too far from here. Man, that house didn't really want to talk about hell. Matter of fact, that was clear from the very beginning. First thing he said, I just don't believe a loving God would send people to hell. And I said, I agree with that. He said, you agree with that? And I said, that's right. God don't send people to hell. I said, he stood between me and hell. The reason I didn't make it. Hadn't been for him standing in my way, I'd have made it to hell. But he stood in the way, and there was no way around him. A lot of people find some way around him. They trodden underfoot the blood, kind of an unworthy thing, and fall down into hell. Down there, buddy, they meet their doom. Down in the place of the damned, down there where death is magnified a million times, I can't even describe hell. And I'll tell you the reasons people go to hell is they don't understand what sins them there. This man said, I can't believe a loving God would send people to hell. God doesn't. God, matter of fact, He's just the opposite. He's trying to keep people from going there. That nurse that stood with Voltaire, she said, for all the gold of England, I'll never sit by the bedside of another infidel. That was his last voices from eternity. They're coming after me. The flames are coming up around me. They're dragging me down. Someone help me. 3 miles away. You can hear Voltaire screaming out. Well, let me tell you, I'll use real briefly here, 4 things that are for sure send you to hell. Sin at the top of the list. It's the opposite of being innocent. It's guilty, but living in denial. Bible says the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Bible said in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Sin's a subject matter that can't be left unattended. Sin in the least dosage. I never forget how teenagers think somehow that they can just play around just a little bit with sin. The Bible said, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Sin will leave a mark on you. Sin will, it'll conquer you without you even realizing that it's done it. James said, sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. Sin has a path and it runs a full circle. The Bible said every man is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed of his own lust. And lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. That's what happened to David. See, he's at a time when kings go forth to battle, he stayed home. A lot of people stayed home this morning. It's a time to go to the house of God. Someone said nowhere in the Bible does it say go to church. Yeah, it does. Romans 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. And God said we're supposed to be in church. John said, I couldn't be in church, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Because he'd been exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Make no doubt about it, buddy. He was worshiping God even on the Isle of Patmos. But if there's any way you can be in church, you ought to be there. Anyway, it was a church, buddy. I heard about this matter of sin. It was a church. I heard I didn't have to go to this place called hell. It was a church, buddy. I found out that God had another option for me. David, at a time when kings go forth to battle, he stayed home. Just so happened as the devil would have it, and it'll be always like this. I don't have to just talk about David. I can talk about people that I've known in my own lifetime. But as the devil would have it, there's a woman. She's a man's wife. She's out there taking a bath. Just coincidence, David's walking at the top of the palace. And just by coincidence, he just happens to see beautiful Bathsheba. She's bathing. He's enticed. What that means is he didn't look once. He said, like Moses looked left and right before he killed that Egyptian. He said, it's good to me. Killed him, buried him. The next day, he was confronted about the fact he'd killed that Egyptian and he fled for his life. David, no different than you and I, he didn't just look, he was enticed by the beauty of this woman. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. You can categorize it however you want to. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I won't look upon a maid. Probably good if some men do that, because we're men of like passion. Don't be enticed. Don't think you're so big, so above others that you can handle sin. I saw bigger men than you brought down. Good friend of mine out doing visitation knocked on the door and a woman opened the door without a stitch of clothing on. He ran from the sight. But he didn't stay gone. He came back, Brother Howard. He left a godly wife. I love her too, boy. She still ranks pretty high on my list of women that I think a lot of. She's been in this church before. But it was his downfall. I saw it with my own father. As he worked at the courthouse, as a fire marshal, a woman batted her eyes at him. The Bible said don't let her eyes take you. Well, she batted her eyes at my dad and he left my mother, a loving wife. I was there the day he left her. I remember his arrogance. Now, going, I heard my mother say unthinkable things. She said, Bobby, if you want that woman, you can have her. Just don't leave me. I wouldn't have done that. I'd have shot him. Twice or more. My mama waited on him hand and foot. My mother worshipped the ground my father stood on. There's never been a better wife that I saw than my mother was to my dad. She took his socks off. She brought him his meal, cooked it, washed his clothes, kept the house immaculate, put up with all his sarcasm and stuff. I was there. I was the only child. I got to see it all, William. But that day my father left. He'll tell you, if he's here this morning, he'll say it's the biggest mistake I ever made. That's why this Bible says, don't be enticed by a strange woman. David, not only was he enticed, but lust came up in the heart of David. He sent for this woman. He's king. No one can tell him he can't have her. Oh, for what it's worth, I wish we had more preachers like Nathan. He come up, preach a little sermonette to the king after he thought this thing's surely over. Done had Uriah killed and done took Bathsheba to wife. Nathan, my kind of preacher, like John the Baptist. They told King Herod, it's not lawful if you have your brother Philip's wife. Nathan preached a little sermon to the king now. The king could have had his head. He preached a little sermon to the king, David. David got all big and mad in the flesh, his righteous indignation. The man that's done this shall surely die. Nathan said, you're the man. Boy, wouldn't it be good to have some preaching like that? Wasn't no respect to a person. Didn't matter if they come in with a three-piece suit on, governor, legislator, congressman, president. Man, oh man, it'd be good to have that kind of preaching today. I believe, like Brother Vernon said, he'd call some of these churches to recover from intensive care. Churches are on flat line right now. Everybody's afraid. Don't offend no one, Brother Eddie. Don't run them off. Listen, if I can rock your boat, don't blame me. I'll tell you the best thing to do, just get right with God and you can flow through anything. Man, I'll tell you what now, they preach on hell now. And I shout all over the place. I'm just glad I ain't going there, amen.
Amen.
But sin, it sends people to hell. It sure does. You think, you know, sin, I can handle sin, Brother Eddie. No, you can't handle it. It not only affects you, it affects your family, it affects how you think, it affects how you live, it affects where you go, it affects what you do. And when sin's done with you, buddy, you're done, amen. Sin will lay claim to you just like it did Voltaire. And you'll be there with the best doctors, with the best means. They'll do everything in their power. Just remember this, they're practicing physicians. And I'll tell you what, they don't do what they do for free. They'll be glad to charge you arm and leg. They'll do everything they can. But when they've done everything they can, I want you to know sin won't let up. And when sin gets down, it'll take you down to this place called hell. Amen. There's somebody going there right now. Dress them up. Put the flowers on. And sin says, they're mine. Oh me. Only one I know that can handle sin is Jesus. Sin will send people to hell. But not just sin, selfishness will send people to hell. Well, Brother Eddie, I want to live my life. And then when I live my life, I'll get saved. You know, I thought that same thought. That was when I was 18 years old. I remember my grandfather coming up there to the backyard. I'm sitting there drinking beer. Then, William, I had my shirt off, filth all showing, you know, on a hot summer day, and I just put that beer behind me, and here come my godly grandfather, Edgar Gunnels, glasses an inch thick, made his eyeballs not only look big, but them tears looked like bowling balls rolling down his cheeks. Walked up to his lost grandson. He said, "Horsefly, I've been praying for you, son. I sure like you get saved." I'm sitting there, can't even believe I had a thought like this. I'm sitting there thinking, Papa Ed, I'm 18. Maybe when I'm 81, Papa Ed, but I'm 18, Papa Ed. I want to live my life. And then after I've lived my life, if there's anything left over, I'll give it to God. Who would think a thought like that? I did. There's a multitude of people I'm persuaded think the same kind of thoughts. They think God owes them something. God done more than you deserve for you. He done went through hell just to give you a home in heaven. As far as I'm concerned, He deserves the whole world to get saved, Carolyn. As far as I'm concerned, buddy, everybody ought to get saved for Jesus' sake. Amen. Just because of the beating and the suffering He went through. Amen. But I thought, Brother Melvin, I thought, man, hey, I ain't done everything I want to do yet. Who says you're going to get to?
That's right.
Where's tomorrow on your calendar? Show it to me. It might not be there on your calendar. You see, we live our lives like a tale that's told. Sometimes the book ends early than what we're anticipating. Sometimes, buddy, the page, when you turn it, the next page is the day you die. Selfishness keeps a lot of people from getting saved, Brother Melvin. Boy, I'll tell you what, I believe that lie straight out of hell. I thought I had plenty of time. I remember one time I had a track like this. I wish I could find it. Showed a 16-year-old girl on the front of it, and she's a real pretty little girl. And someone witnessed to her, said, "You need to get saved." You know what her answer was, Carolyn? Her answer was, "I got plenty of time." She died that night. 16-year-old. She died that night. You see, death, it's no respecter of person. It's coming like a roaring lion to devour. That earthquake, or not earthquake, but that earth opened up there at Bowling Green, that sinkhole swallowed them Corvettes up. And that's the way death is. It just wants to have the advantage. It just wants to swallow you like a great white shark. Just swallow you up. As you go down kicking and screaming, crying out, "Oh God, save me." selfishness will keep a lot of people from heaven. The Bible says in James 4:14 that our life's but a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanisheth away. It goes somewhere. Some say they don't know where. I know where I'm going, amen. Hallelujah, I'm glad, praise God, I know where I'm going. Someone says, away where, when, or where, who? A vapor of opportunity gone, eternity now to regret. Not only will sin send you to hell, not only will selfish send you to hell, but stupidity will send you to hell. I know it's a blunt word, but no one in their right mind goes to hell. I believe everybody's got enough sense to shun a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus didn't make hell for you. He said in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. You got no business whatsoever going to a place called hell.
That's right.
I watched a little bit of news this morning. They had a young girl on there. She's a member of a satanic cult. Molly, at 22, she quit counting all the young men they killed for the honor of Satan by soliciting through Craigslist. I don't know how juicy the imitation was. I just know that like a bird going to a snare, young men came for one reason or whatever, I don't know, but all of them were killed. She said, I quit counting at the number 22. They had her in chains. A young girl, attractive young girl. She done it for her father, Satan. He's a murderer. Amen. Cain was of him. He's a murderer from the beginning. Bible tells you why he killed his brother. Because his brother's works were righteous and his were evil. He had indignation toward his brother Abel. Amen. This woman in a cult, a satanic cult, to honor her father, Satan. 22 plus men. They caught her with one. And she confessed to 22 more. And she said, after 22, I quit counting. That's how quickly you can leave out stupidity. If those men knew that by answering that ad on Craigslist, I don't know how they were killed. I don't know if they were shot. I don't know how they were killed. I just know one thing. She confessed to killing 22 plus people. No one in their right mind wants to go to hell. My brother-in-law, when I first got saved, I was probably a little more zealous than I am now. Everybody's scared to death of me because I knew if they come to my house, all they was going to hear something about Jesus. And it surprised me. He showed up one day, Carolyn, my wife's younger brother, Garrett. And it was like he was ready for me, I guess. I got in there, you know, and he's in the kitchen. I said, how you doing there, Garrett? All right. And we sat there and made a little bit of talk. And I said, Garrett, I said, are you saved, man? He said, no. I said, you don't want to go to hell, do you? And he said the most phenomenal thing, Brother Melvin. He said, yeah, I want to go to hell. I want to go to hell. That was a bad line for him to choose. I said, is that right? You want to go to hell? Yeah, I want to go. He's a young guy. You know, he's in his teens. And I said, Gary, you don't mind proving it, do you? I will. Yeah, what do you want me to do? I'll prove it. So I just went over there and turned our kitchen range on high. And it got good and cherry red. I said, Gary, you want to prove to me you want to go to hell? Just lay your face right there on that burner. And that'll prove to me you want to go to hell. Boy, the reality of hell set in right then. He balked out, bawling, squalling, fell down there right in front of that stove there in our kitchen and said, God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go there. He made a stupid statement saying, I want to go to hell. I've heard people, all my friends are there. We're going to party down in hell. You sure are. It's going to be a screaming party. You ain't going to be able to hear nothing but screaming, ungodly, agony, screaming. We had an article not too long ago about Pulaski or somewhere like that over near Russia. These Russian scientists had up on themselves, they was going to drill down to hell and see if it's really there. I don't know if it's legitimate or not. I heard the tape and I got several clips of information about it come out of a newspaper. Anyway, they drilled down. I forgot how many miles down deep. And all of a sudden the bit went all the way through the earth's crust and they hit an empty spot. When they pulled that bit out, they said the first thing these unbelieving communist scientists said, the first thing they saw was a winged creature come out of this hole. And it screamed at them and they run plumb out of their shoes and flew off. And they heard screams come from that hole. And I heard some of them. It's actually recorded on that tape. And you can, it's not sound alike. You can hear them down there. I can't imitate it. I won't even try. But you can hear them down there screaming. Distinct screaming from a place called hell. Stupidity caused a lot of people to go to hell. God said in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3, He said, My spirit will not always strive with man. There was a girl in the hospital. Some men were called upon to go out there and visit her. They went out to the hospital. Brother Vernon walked in the room. She said, Wasting your time, fellas. They said, Well, ma'am, we care. She said, No, but you're wasting your time. She said, When I was a young girl, she said, I said, God, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And God honored her request. She said, I cannot feel God. And they prayed with her. They fasted for her. And she still died lost and went to hell. God said, My spirit will not always strive. You ought to thank God that God deals with you about hell. You ought to thank God even for just a little bit of condemnation, just a little bit of guilt, just a little bit of concern. You ought to thank God about that. You ought to thank God that He calls you to think about ending up in a place like that and telling you you should not even consider going there, but you ought to consider His Son Jesus as your Lord and Savior so you wouldn't have to go there. You ought to thank the Lord, amen, and rejoice that God cares about you enough to help you get saved. You can't get saved without the help of God.
Right.
This brother complained. I complained. He can water and I can water. That's all we can do. I couldn't save a fly. Only God can give increase.
Amen.
Jesus said, Only those My Father have planted, others will be rooted up. Without the Holy Ghost of God, I don't care how pretty your prayer is. I don't care if you cried a river of tears. Without the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible said in Romans chapter number 8, God giveth us of His Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Without the Holy Spirit of God, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. I'm telling you right now, boy, you ought to be thinking about salvation and heaven and getting saved to miss hell. Amen. Be a sad day. When your days fill, you die that bitter end, lost without God. There'll be many people. The Bible doesn't say many get saved. It says broad's a way that leads to destruction. Matthew chapter 7 says many be that go in thereat. Next verse, Brother Howard says narrow's a way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. I'll tell you what, I don't know whether God found me or I found Him. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I can fill up my head and know the worst could happen to me, Molly, is I'd wake up in heaven and see the One that loved me and gave Himself for me. Hell no longer hangs over my head. Death no longer can lay any claim. All because Jesus went to the cross for me. He bought me. And I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, with the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot and without blemish. Don't meet God on your terms. Meet God on His terms. Amen. I'll tell you right now, stupidity. A lot of people, I'm going to get saved, Brother Eddie, just not today. Don't worry about me. Be alright. Stupidity. The Bible said, He that been often reproved, hardening his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29, verse 1. And for sake of time, I'm just going to go on to this next point. I was going to read a few scriptures there, but I'm looking at the clock and it's beating me down. Let me see. Stubbornness. Just up the road up here, me and Brother Melvin went to a house, man on kidney dialysis, as good as dead. We walked in there and pleaded with him about getting saved. And I remember him looking at me and looking at Brother Melvin and looking over at his wife. And he said, "Not today. Not today." We got to come again. Same scenario. I still remember his words. "Not today." He was worse at that time. As a matter of fact, that time he was almost bedfast. Just to look at him, you'd think, "What are you thinking?" "Not today." He died that night. So we followed up and went up there to his wife. She had the same look he did. "Not today." She died. And the scenario continues. "Not today, preacher. Not today." Stubbornness. How many days do you think you got? None of us know. Whole song, "Who'll be the next to face eternity?" We know not who it will be. Someone will be called out to face eternity. We don't give a lot of thought to that, but stubbornness has kept a lot of people from going to heaven. Stubbornness has caused a lot of people to shun the invitation when it's given and not really put thought to the fact that God's reaching out His hand saying, "I'm here for you. I'll help you. I'll save you." And we sit there and think, "Not today. Not today, preacher." We've been to the hospital. I remember not too long ago, was at the hospital talking to a man about his soul. And he had a girlfriend there and tears flying everywhere. And we just stopped talking to him for just a minute and said, "What about you, young lady?" She said, "No, I'm not saved." And I said, "Don't you want to get saved?" She said, "Yeah, I do." And Brother Melvin said, "You want to do it now?" She said, "Yeah, I'd like to do it now." Right there in his presence, she got saved. God was dealing with her. I told her that day, I said, "That's not me and Melvin making you cry. It's not us doing it. It's God telling you. That's godly sorrow, the work of repentance, not to be repented of. I'm telling you, buddy, when the waters are moving, it's time to get in. Amen." Man, been laying there by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years waiting to get in. What are you waiting on? She got in. That man still with a I don't know, like a stone glare, looking out the window. Right there in His presence. "Don't you want to get in?" "Not today. Not today." It's still that way, Brother Melvin. Still not today. I prayed for him last night. Prayed for him early this morning. Prayed for him yesterday. It won't be too many more days just by looking at him. The season of life looked to me like he's in the fall, approaching the winter. "Not today, preacher. Sweat, death, beads of sweat on the brow. Not today, preacher." Let me just say this. Satan loves stubbornness. He'll give you all the line that you need. Like when I fished a lot, Daddy, he'd say, "Feed him a little line. Don't set the hook. Give him a chance to get it in there real good." We were down on the creek bank, Green River, and my level winds. Daddy said, "It's all right, let it go, let it go." And after a while, Molly, he said, "All right now." And I picked up that rod and I jerked that thing, and there's a muskie about pulled me in the river. I left rod and reel and all, run away back to the truck. I wasn't big enough to get something like that in. Daddy got it in on his own. But the devil's a lot like that. He'll feed you line. He'll feed you this dandelion, that dandelion, and you'll set it gnawed. God's reproof, you'll set it gnawed. God's invitation, and pretty soon, days are gone. Opportunities are gone. And now it's prepared to meet thy God. Oh, me. I've asked Brother Melvin if he would to consider singing for an invitational verse this morning, an old song called "Prepare to Meet Thy God." Before he comes forward to sing it, Are you prepared? And if not, you'll do it today. I would have preached this message last Sunday, but I felt I needed to wait till today. I'd like to ask Him to come. And I'd like to ask everybody to stand. If you're not prepared to meet God, I don't what you're thinking, what somebody would think, what are you going to think when the flames of hell devour you? What are you going to think when death comes to lay claim? What are you going to think when the devil says, you belong to me now? We went to see that play up here at this church, not too far up the road up here. And one of the things in there, that old devil wanted to lay claim. One of the scenes in there, he come up, I want you, I hate you, I'm going to get you. It didn't bother me because I knew, praise God, I had one greater than him on my side. One day the devil's going to come for you. Let me see. I marked your book over. It's in the black book there. It's what bookmarker is.
Okay. Yes,
yes. And let me see if I can find it in this book here. We only got two books that's got this in there.
Can you play that?
I want you to listen to this song. This was wrote a long time ago.
Maybe I'll remember the words.
Yeah. Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet the God. Careless soul, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face a judgment. I'm prepared to meet the God. My soul thoughtless, are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spinning, falling? Oh, prepare to meet the God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment. I'm prepared to meet the God. Hear ye not the earnest pleading of your friends that wish you well? And perhaps before tomorrow, you'll be called to meet your God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment. I'm prepared to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition. I'm prepared to meet the God. Come on this morning. No better day than today. The Bible said now is the accepted time. Today's the day. Today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Won't you just come this morning? Won't you knock it down out of the way and say, I'm going to that altar? I want to know that when death comes, he ain't going to lay no claim on me. Somebody had to do your funeral. I remember one time I had to do a funeral and they said, give me some hope. I didn't have any to give. Because I knew where they were. I'd like to be able to give family hope. Your loved ones will be there. They'll say, tell me, Brother Eddie. Tell me so-and-so's in heaven. The only way I can tell that is if you got a testimony like Enoch. You left behind this testimony that it pleased God. You give me something, I'll give them. If I ain't got nothing, I can't give it. They'll be crying mournfully. They'll be without hope, without comfort. Well, I've done the best I could. I wish someone had considered the fact this message this morning, buddy. I'll tell you right now, it's not no fairy tale. Jesus spoke more about hell than did about heaven. He has spent most of His ministry warning people about a place called hell and the rest of His ministry trying to get people out of it. He said, if you believe not that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. and you'll go to hell. They could see nothing but a carpenter's son. That's all they could see. I'll tell you, friend, this morning, you better prepare to meet your God. He's got an outstretched hand. Not going to be forever, but right now, He said, my hand stretched out all the day long. And He's beckoning and inviting and bidding you to come. Anybody got a word in your heart? Thank you, Brother Melvin. I appreciate you helping me. We didn't have any piano playing on that song. Hadn't sung that song in a long time. I saw a lot of people come forward. And I was hoping to see even more come forward. But prepared or not, ready or not, like old hide and seek game we used to play, ready or not, here I come. That's the way death's going to come, ready or not. It's appointed unto man. Wants to die and after that the judgment. That day is going to come. I can't do anything about it after the fact, but I can do something about it now. How, Brother Eddie? I can pray with you. I can tell you what the Bible says, what you got to do. You got to confess you're a sinner. You got to ask forgiveness and believe God to do it. That's what Romans 10:9 says, with the mouth confession is made, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I can tell you that.
Amen.
See, anybody got a word on your heart this morning?
Praise the Lord that He wrote my name.
Amen.
With His blood and kept me out.
Bless you, Mother.
Because it is real.
Amen.
A lot of people want to find out it's real.
That's right.
So is heaven's real, and so is Jesus Christ is real. So they better return before it's too late.
Amen. 3 miles away, you could hear Voltaire crying out, somebody help me. Somebody help me. They're coming to get me. I hope that's not true with you.
You know, just like education, you take that. Why can't you take God's word? That's His love book there for us.
Yeah.
Why can't you take that? If you went to school and got education, why can't you open up His book and get educated there? Because He's telling us the truth.
Amen. I like what Gail's daughter, Crystal, said. She said, I left the room and I heard music and I run back in there.
Brother Eddie, I'm just glad that God made it possible that we don't have to go there.
Amen.
It's whatever we want to do. You know, when He left it in at our own discretion, we are a free moral agent. We choose to go there or not.
That's right.
Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. I think of that. Paul even looked upon him, the wretchedness of his life. He said, I thank God that through Christ, it was all through Him, wasn't it?
Got the victory.
I'm grateful for that this morning. We don't have to go there. I don't fear the thought of dying because I know that I don't have to go to hell.
Amen.
I'm just thinking, too, that we've not had a prayer meeting for about close to 2 months, and I'm missing midweek service. And so I'm all in favor of being here Wednesday night. If the creeks don't rise to keep you from coming and the snow ain't too deep, well, let's have it.
Amen.
If it rises and I can't get here, I'll call and tell you. Or if it snows too deep, well, you call and tell me I can't get there. You know?
But listen, I agree, brother.
I'm ready for prayer meeting.
Amen.
6:30 in case anybody's got the time. 6:30.
6:30?
6:30. 6:30,
wasn't it? I thought.
Oh, wait,
I think so. Okay,
6:30. Well,
I don't know. 6 o'clock. 6:30
is all right, me
or 5 or whenever, you know.
Yeah. I guess you do. Yeah, I done found out. My wife's always right, especially when it comes to names and times and dates. Bible says, well, I'm according to knowledge, they've got it. I'll tell you right now, there's something, man's too busy or something, but women can remember all that stuff.
Eddie, I want to praise the Lord this morning. You were talking about trouble in the churches. I'm just glad that we got this little church.
Amen.
I've been in a turmoil all week. It's just been every day something different. And I'm not going to say the devil done it because I don't want to give him no credit. But I let him do it.
Bless you.
But I'm glad that when I came in here this morning, I could feel peace.
Amen.
I'm just going to thank you. About the first peace I felt all week. But I'd like to say something about Gail's gone, because it's not going to hurt her, and it might help somebody else. Gail, like everybody else, she didn't live a perfect life when she was young, growing up. She had a lot of things in her life. Never went to church that I know of. And we had her tent meeting over there that year, and she came every night.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is good.
Amen.
And then I tried to try to get her to come over here to church tonight, but she wasn't coming. She didn't think she wouldn't come. So I still would see her every once in a while. And then when she got cancer, she probably been sick a year. And it was just like the Lord told me one day to go up there. And I did. And I was sitting there and we was talking and she was telling me, well, I said, Gail, are you ready to die? She started crying. She said, yes, I'm ready to die. She said, let me tell you something. I said, okay. She said, you see that radio up there on that shelf? And I said, yeah. She said, that was my mom and daddy's radio. She said, every Sunday evening, they turned it on and listened to gospel music. And she said, since they've been gone, it's probably been 10 or 11 years. She said, since they've been gone, that radio's never worked. But she said, I just left it sitting there because it was theirs and I just left it. So she said, one day my life was in such a mess and everything was coming against me. She said, I thought, there's no sense in this. I'll just take my life. I'll just take my life. So she said, she got her gun, had it loaded, got down to the side of the couch, set the gun up to her head,
yes,
ready to pull the trigger, and the radio came on with gospel music that hadn't played for 10 years.
Amen.
And she said, well, I laid my gun down and I fell down on my knees and I asked God to forgive me.
Amen.
And then from then on, it wasn't no trouble there coming to church. Of course, she wasn't able to come.
Yeah.
A lot of times. And I never will forget the Sunday that we went over there to visit and we had a baptizing.
Yeah.
And y'all said something about the baptizing. And she said, oh, I want to be baptized so bad.
Yeah.
She said, I've been thinking about calling y'all and seeing if there was any way I could get baptized. The poor thing, she wasn't able to be baptized.
Right.
But she went down there and she was baptized. And then from then on, every time she felt like coming to church, she
said,
well, there's not a doubt in my mind where Gail's at this morning.
Amen.
She had gone through a lot in her life. I mean, she went through a lot, but she had the Lord with her. And I wonder sometimes if, I think I've gone through bad times, but you know, when you come down and your body's in pain every minute
right.
of the day, I just don't know if I can handle all that or not. Well, I'm sure I could with the Lord's help, but it would be hard.
Right.
And I know Gail really went through a lot of stuff mm-hmm. with her daughter and, you know, and her sickness, but I know she never did give up after she, and why would she? You know, the Lord done that. He started that radio the same.
Right.
If that radio had not come on, Gail would went out a different way.
Wow.
So I don't know if the radio played anymore after that. I never did ask her. If
it
did.
Amen.
I never did realize at the time. I don't guess she had a yard sale and had a little 32 revolver pistol. And I bought the thing, got it over and in. I guess that's probably the gun.
No,
I'm
looking after that.
Well, it's been a long time.
No,
I mean that. Oh, you mean that?
Yeah.
I ain't had to get that.
Oh.
I don't think so. I figured that was probably the gun.
She's
using it.
I'm glad God had some better mind than that. And even if a radio could be used, you know, to persuade someone not to do the unthinkable. I praise God that she was able to avert that.
God worked a miracle or something yeah. like that. He didn't want to be lost. He went extra mile with
her. Amen.
Extra mile.
Anyone else got anything on your heart this morning? Thank you for bearing with me. I've been a little long. I look back there, it's 11:30. If we're done, well, we'll be dismissed. If anybody's got anything on your heart, make it known. We'll don't forget to come tonight. We'll have service tonight. Poor Molly, she won't have service last Sunday night. I felt so bad, it didn't do nothing. And I commend her that, you know, she had the right stance. She said, hey, let's go ahead and have church and just trust God. And me and Brother Nevin. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
five of that,
yes, that's right. And we still have
time
to get
to...
Yeah.
You heard them,
Martin?
Sure.
It's Mark's two boys.
Oh,
Mark,
both.
And
yeah.
Harry.
Yeah.
And Carl.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know what the call was.
Yeah, well, I just got that 9 year old.